This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
All right, welcome back. Hope you're having a nice little Thursday. Got your sportsman here. I'm Rob.
Hi.
Big Suke right over there.
Right here.
Look at him. And you've also got new producer Stephen Vaughn in the house on day five, I think. Yeah, day five.
Savage.
So, Milwaukee's finest, they call him.
The OG.
So, coming up here, we've got Joey Harrington joining us at 5:30. See where the worry meter's at for the rematch with Indiana. Coming up tonight in the club, we have the 10 small habits that reveal a lot about your personality.
Mm, that's fun.
Okay.
I'm going to find out that we're all terrible people.
Maybe. And some other stuff.
I returned my shopping cart now.
Now?
I always did. Now I just
shamed?
I go the extra. I used to always put it, make sure it was on the curb so it couldn't roll away. I will say that since we've discussed it, I do make sure it goes into the little corral now.
So you're admitting that you were a bad human before.
No, I admit that I was a partially bad human because I never left my shopping cart. I just didn't always return it to the correct.
Well, I don't think that was the thing. The thing was you have to put, if you don't put it back, you're an ass.
I did put it back. Just not in the way that it was probably designed to be put back.
I can tell you, as a former cart pusher inner at Costco.
Oh, okay. There you go. Yeah.
I didn't care what you did.
Inside info.
I didn't mind when there was just like one straggler cart just hanging out because it wasted a lot more time. So like when people are parking in that third lot and I have to go check it out and there's only one cart, at least I'm doing something and it wastes a little bit more time. So I think it's a little overrated what we're talking about here.
Okay. All right. There you go. The inside scoop.
There you go.
On cart pushing.
Yeah. Is I would never just willy-nilly leave my cart anywhere.
Right. Don't leave it in the middle of the road.
But I made sure that it was on, like up on a curb where it couldn't roll away, that it was safe and secure. And now I do take the extra time to bring it back to the corral. And apparently that's not what a cart pusher wants.
I mean, it doesn't matter. I'm just saying.
I think you should always put it back.
In an ideal world, yeah, put it back. But you know what?
It's what you're supposed to do.
Just don't leave it in the middle of the road. So if it's on a curb, it's all good.
Couple of headlines, things going on today before we get back into Oregon, Indiana. Dolphins have fired coach Mike McDaniel.
Yeah, which by the way, if I'm like the Houston Texans, could I possibly fire my offensive coordinator right now and hire him to be my, like, I don't know if he'll get another head coaching job right away. That is one of the better offensive minds in football. And there are a lot of teams with wonky offenses that I would like immediately call him and be like, same thing with the Texans. I get we can't hire you right now. Don't go anywhere. We'll fire our guy at the end of the season. You're our guy. Go get him.
Biracial angel.
If you have a young quarterback, go get him.
What about Baltimore?
Well, they don't have a coach.
Well, I know, but I'm just mean if, you know, like
I don't,
Lamar.
I don't know if, yeah, I don't know what they're going to do as far as the staff goes.
I mean, they might keep Monken, but I bet they fire him. And
I would
coach hire McDaniel.
Absolutely,
as
100%.
Brian Flores, head coach, Mike McDaniel, OC.
Done and done. Do it tomorrow.
He's 0-2.
He's a biracial angel.
0-2 in the playoffs. Great glasses, and 35-33 in four seasons
said
in Miami.
He got emotional and was teary when he was informed that he was going to be fired.
4-17 though against teams above 500.
Yeah, yes, that's rough.
Yes,
but you know, I would imagine the John Harbaugh thing had something to do with that, mm-hmm. right? Because he wasn't fired initially.
Yeah,
and now that Harbaugh's out there, Stephen Ross is like, "Whoa, wait a minute,
go get Harbaugh."
So we'll see. Damon Williams Jr., Washington quarterback, dropped by his agent today, and now, according to Pete Thamel, who had this report before the Miami Ole Miss game started, he is considering a return to Washington.
4 minutes ago.
And Washington would welcome back and is hoping he will return.
4 minutes ago on Instagram, Damon Williams, after thoughtful reflection with my family, I'm excited to announce that I will continue my football journey at the University of Washington.
Wow.
He is back. And by the way, that is not with your family. That was after thoughtful consideration. I realized that LSU was not going to be able to pay me a dime. Therefore, I will come back and take my $5 million from the Washington Huskies.
Hey, wow. Hey, Suk, he said, I am fully committed.
Yes.
So there we go.
And Washington wants him back, huh?
Yeah, it said, this is from Jed Fish. Over the last few days, Desmond and I have engaged in a very honest and heartfelt conversations about his present and future. We both agree that the University of Washington is the best place for him to continue his academic, athletic, and social development. Sure, the academic development is so good. I appreciate Damon's statement. I support him, and we work together to begin the process of repairing relationships and regaining the trust of the Husky community. So he is back.
Okay.
And this is simply because it sounds like the agent... He got bad advice from the same guy that was advising Nico in the Tennessee breakup. His agent dropped him and said that they have different ideas. And so it's now come out that it sounds like when Leavitt was at LSU, that deal was basically done. This is what's being reported, that Leavitt was basically a done deal. And Lane Kiffin had always been enamored with Damon Williams. He recruited him out of high school. And that I forget the guy's name, but the donkey who was advising Williams, the same guy that did Nico, apparently he reached out, or Lane reached out and said, hey, I think we can make this happen. And Lane kind of threw it out there, and it kind of came together as a last minute thing. And now Lane Kiffin is supposedly taking some heat from LSU over this.
So does this piss Sam Leavitt off? Is he out of there now?
Well, Leavitt went and visited Tennessee. So yeah, the report was that Leavitt was all committed to LSU, and now he's having second thoughts. And apparently some people at LSU are none too thrilled that Lane has thrown them into the spotlight over this without really doing any sort of due diligence about what was happening. So again, to be clear, they could not sue Damon Williams into staying at UW, but it sounds like with the contract that they signed, they were going to keep him from making any money at LSU. So
what an exciting,
shocking
time.
Development. $5 million from UW or play for free for a year at LSU, and the young man has decided to come back to the University of Washington.
Okay. What else do I have here? Oh, I was going to tell you that Missouri quarterback Bo Prabula was visiting Washington today.
Yeah. I'm guessing he will not be going to Washington after this.
Probably not, but wouldn't that be funny if UW brought in a hammer backup or a hammer, like, quarterback to challenge Damon Williams?
I do think it's fair. So Husky fan went from Damon Williams is going to be the Heisman Trophy winner next year to he was short and a bum and I don't want him. And now you're back to he's going to win the Heisman Trophy. Remember, in their losses this year, I think he had 2 touchdowns and I think 6 or 7 picks. He was bad in their losses. And I think that young man has a lot of talent. I thought he was going to be better than he was this year. But all the quarterbacks that we came into this season saying, oh, they're going to take the next step, most of them did not. So be careful with the Damon Williams is back and everything's hunky-dory. That guy's got a lot to prove now on and off the field at UW.
Do you have any eligibility left?
I do not.
No.
I went all 5 years at one school, which is now, like, unheard of.
Ole Miss might need you.
They're in some trouble.
2-3 and outs.
I
mean, it's only 3-0. Miami's up 3-0.
Their front, though.
But their front is not handling Miami well at all.
No.
Oregon State has its defensive coordinator. They bring in Lance Guidry. I wonder if you know who Lance Guidry is.
Is it any relation to Ron Guidry, the only Guidry that I know?
I don't know about that. He was most recently a defensive analyst at LSU, but he went to LSU after getting turfed at Miami. He was the defensive coordinator for the Cam Ward season at Miami.
Oh.
Do you remember how bad their defense was?
I do remember how bad he was.
Yeah, that's the Oregon State guy.
Huh.
Lance Guidry.
It's a little strange. Okay.
I don't know.
All right. Go Lance.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what you're working with there. I mean,
who knows?
Budget-wise, and maybe it turns out to be good.
And this happened last night on our show. Anybody have any hot commentary about Trae Young being dealt for CJ McCollum?
Well, the best part is when we found out Trae Young was being considered to Washington, we all laughed and was like, that's the perfect trade. One, like, CJ for Trae, they're the same player. Why not? Make it happen. Underside score first guard. Yeah, let's do it.
Swapping hollow guards. An American pastime.
Yes.
And those are your headlines. Let's get into Oregon, Indiana. We'll have our thoughts on the game, and then we'll bring in Joey Harrington for his thoughts coming up next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win, only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
All right, coming up in 10 minutes, maybe 15, our friend Joey Harrington will hop on and we will discuss in depth Oregon, Indiana.
Yeah.
I have a quick update. You and I are going to talk about the game here in a sec, but I have a quick update on the Portland shooting with the feds.
Yes. Two people have been shot. I think it's a husband-wife team, if I'm not mistaken.
They are a team.
Yeah.
Dynamic Wonder Twin Powers. Mm-hmm. Now, the Department of Homeland Security is out, and they say that Border Patrol agents were conducting a traffic stop targeting an alleged Venezuelan illegal alien affiliated with the transnational Tren de Aragua, if I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Which you're not, but okay.
Prostitution ring.
Okay.
DHS says when Border Patrol agents identify themselves to the people in the car, the driver, who the feds alleged is a gang member, weaponized his vehicle and attempted to run over the law enforcement agents. Mm. The feds say the agent fired a defensive shot out of fear for his life and safety, and the driver fled the scene with his passenger. DHS also says the alleged gang member here was recently involved in a shooting in Portland.
Okay. So let's all wait until we actually see what happened, and then, you know, we'll go from there. There should be footage just like there was in Minneapolis, although Story seems to be changing on a daily basis, even though we can all see it with our own two eyes, but we shall wait and see. And that's what the mayor said. And I thought it was apropos. Just said, let's wait and see how this plays out. Let's see what the video says before we go jumping to any rash conclusions.
Well, the game will be right here on The Fan tomorrow. We invite you to go to the Thirsty Line in Washington Square. Pregame show with Dirt and Anthony Newman, presented by Coors Light, will be on hand there on location. Thirsty Line, Washington Square. Big watch party for the game. I'm pumped. I actually have already said I think Oregon might win this game. What do you think?
I think there's a chance. Look, I think the world of college football, what we've seen right now is that there's no more great teams. Ohio State was the closest thing, I thought, to one of the teams that we've seen in the past, and they got knocked out. Like, so just the talent has been spread out. So the fact that, you know, that you have Ole Miss here, that you have Indiana in this game, the difference, like, there's no more Joe Burrow LSU teams coming down the road. So Indiana right now is the best team in college football. They're a wagon. But let's not act like they're, like, that much better than Oregon. And the thing that gives me hope, I'm still going to take Indiana in this game. I'm done doubting them. They proved it. They went into your house. They beat you. It was a close game, but I thought they were better than you. And nothing that I've seen from Indiana leads me to believe that that has changed. But if I'm an Oregon fan and I want to be like, okay, why does this game end up different than the first one? These teams are very close, and it's hard to beat teams multiple times. Like, it's not like if these teams played five times, Indiana wins all five. So Oregon certainly is capable of doing it. The other one is from a talent standpoint, a talent profile. We've never seen a team like Indiana finish this thing off. Oregon, from a talent standpoint, quote unquote, is that much greater than Indiana. And here's the other one, even going back and watching that game as I did this week, went back and wanted to take a look at it again. When you lose to a team, there's a difference between being physically beaten up and a team that out-schemes you. And I think when you look at Oregon's offense and what they did against Indiana, I think a lot of that was Dante Moore being confused. I think most of those sacks were coverage sacks or protection scheme sacks. Harkey got beat on the first play. He just got beat. But the rest of that was, I thought the running backs were poor in pass protection. I think Dante Moore got confused a lot. And so if you just physically whoop a team's ass, that's hard to make adjustments, right? Like, what do you do except be better? And that's hard. But when it's schematics and it's the second time around, think about, like, Major League Baseball lineups. It's harder to hit someone the first two times through the lineup. You see it the third or fourth time, it gets a lot easier. So Oregon should be better equipped to handle what Indiana does defensively against them. And I think the emergence of their two tight ends and the fact that Sadiq's healthy now, I think Oregon's going to play a lot of 12 personnel and try to live in that world and not get greedy. I thought in that first game, they wanted to kind of turn and make Dante Moore the hero and have these explosive plays, and you're just not going to get them against Indiana. I think they were not patient. And I think in this version of it, I think they are going to be okay with playing a low scoring game and take what Indiana is willing to give you. I think they learned some lessons, and I think that could lead to a close game that maybe tilts this time in Oregon's favor. So there is a path here for Oregon to win. And so that's, I just don't think that this is one of those games you look at and say Indiana is significantly better. I think they're better. They proved it. But this isn't like an overwhelming, my God, there's nothing we can do against Indiana.
Well, I always think too, and you tell me if I'm wrong, but when you get a rematch like this, the losing team always, I don't know, they almost instantly have the upper hand because they're the ones that has to adjust.
Yeah.
Whereas the other team's like, well, okay, this worked. We're going to keep doing that.
Yeah.
You know, so it's going to be, I don't know. I have to think, having seen Indiana, having seen how physical they are, their discipline, they've been on the field with them. Mm-hmm. I think that is a big help for Oregon. Now, this idea that it's hard to beat the same team twice, the numbers say
it's not.
It's not.
Yeah.
But a lot of that too is, like you're saying, you know, some of these are, they're playing, one team is just clearly better in college football. It's not like the NFL.
Yeah, when BYU played Texas Tech earlier in the year,
they'll beat them 10 times out of 10.
Yeah, that's not... Yeah, BYU can't do anything. They can't block Texas Tech. I'm telling you, watching Oregon, Indiana, it's not as dominant. Like, there's this idea out there that Oregon got punched in the mouth. And they did in some instances. But this idea that they were dominated on the line of scrimmage, it really wasn't. The O-line wasn't that bad. Again, the six sacks and the negative yardage to that made the run totals look really bad. But especially inside the tackles, Oregon ran the ball. They had three guys average 5 yards a carry.
Yeah, they just kind of went away from it.
They kind of went away from it. And that's where I said, I think they really got impatient. And they were bad on third down, and I think they kind of outthought the room. I don't think they're going to outthink the room. I think they are going to run the ball and really try to pick their spots. And then from a protection standpoint, outside of Harkey getting beaten like a drum on that one play, a lot of it was just being confused about what Indiana does because they run so many simulated pressures. Anytime you get to third and six, third and seven, Indiana will walk seven guys up at the line of scrimmage and you don't know who's coming. And I thought that really gave Oregon problems. One, because they lived in third and six. I think they were 3 of 15, if I'm not mistaken, on third down. And the average length on though was, I think, was about third and seven. You can't live in that world if you're Oregon. But if you do, I'm guessing that Oregon is going to have a better idea of what they're doing on third down, whether that's simplifying pass protection rules and saying, hey, this is the way we're going to block it. We're going to take care of this side. This side's hot. Dante, it's on you. You have to get rid of the ball. They need to have better answers. And they should. If they don't, then that's on the Oregon coaching staff.
Well, Moore should be better.
Yes. They should have better answers on third and long against Indiana than what they did the first time around.
Across modern college football data, so this is BCS era to college football playoff era, the team that won the first matchup wins the rematch 60 to 65% of the time.
Okay.
So, I mean, I don't know. Based on that, is it hard to beat the same team?
I don't think so.
I don't know. People always say that. And I just trust, you know, it's like Joey's been saying that. You said, so yeah. I'm like, okay, there's got to be something to it. You guys played. But it doesn't seem that.
Again, there's a difference. There's a difference between BYU, Texas Tech, and Indiana and Oregon. Indiana will not overwhelm Oregon. They shouldn't. They didn't do it the first time. It was a close game. Now, my biggest concern and why I'm going to pick Indiana in this game, won't shock me if Oregon wins, is I've talked about it all year. Oregon's offense against the better teams that they've played. And this is, by the way, even if you include USC where they actually had the big point total, they're averaging less than 19 points a game against the good teams that they've played. And that includes teams like Wisconsin, right? This offense is not, it's not great. It's a good offense. It's not great. They leave a lot of meat on the bone, right? They go for it a lot on fourth down, and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. The kicking game has certainly gotten better, but they are just an uneven offense. And when you look throughout this season, 17 points in regulation against Penn State, 13 points against Indiana. Remember, seven of those came on the pick six, so they scored 20, but 13 of them were the offense. 16 points, I think, against Texas Tech. The last touchdown was when Texas Tech was going for it on fourth and whatever from their own 20. 16 points when that game was still, you know, meaningful. Like, they just haven't really had big explosive games. And against an Indiana team who people don't score against, it's hard for me to believe that all of a sudden Oregon, after 14 or 15 weeks, is somehow everything's going to click and they're going to score 30 points. That's just not who they are. At some point, this is who you are. And so you ask the question, is that good enough to beat Indiana? I don't think it is. And if it is, it's because the defense holds Indiana to 14 points. Remember, Ohio State, that game between Ohio State and Indiana was 13-10. You can slow down Indiana's offense.
Penn State did it.
Yeah, Penn State did it. That was 27-24.
Lucky to be 27.
Yes, yes. So Indiana isn't some sort of offensive juggernaut that's going to score 40 points either. In these big games, let's not act like Mendoza is throwing for five touchdowns. I think Oregon needs to accept the fact that the best way for them to win this game is the way Indiana beat Ohio State. And that's why I wonder, you brought it up, I think it's a very good point. Does Dan Lanning get a little more conservative and take the 3 points when they're presented? I think there's a path to victory in doing that. I don't know if he will, but you know that if they win, I think we're going to be on here Monday talking about their defense and not their offense, and then maybe Dante Moore making one or two big plays. Ooh, like
there, he broke one.
Oh, all right.
Ole Miss to the house.
Ole Miss, yeah, 7 or 6-3 now. Like that, the play he had against Texas Tech where he had Sadiq down the middle and he got a little confused by the middle field safety and he didn't rip the ball. you have to make those plays against Indiana. Yeah. That you have to be able to make Indiana pay for the few mistakes that they make, because they probably make less mistakes than any team in the country on defense. And when they present themselves, you have to take advantage.
We all love Dante Moore, but he hasn't put together like a full game that's been great. Like, he's had throws, he's had moments.
Yeah.
This is a game where he needs to avoid mistakes. He needs to make plays throughout the game, because you're right. They may not need 24 points. They may only need 21 to win this game, but they can't have the big mistake out of Dante Moore. And he hasn't had those games this season. He had those moments, the Iowa throw, Penn State. He hasn't had a full game of it. They need that out of him in this one.
Yeah, and you need your defense to just be suffocating. You need your defense to be dominant. Ride the defense. And Miami's doing this. There's a lot of teams that win this way. And it's weird to think with Oregon, because we know of all this offensive talent and Dante Moore is this NFL prospect, but at this point in the season, you are who you are, and the best unit on your field is your defense. Ride your defense, take the 3 points, and I just have a sinking feeling that Oregon's going to come out in 12 personnel, two tight ends, and this is the world that they're going to live in, and they are going to absolutely try to pound the rock in the middle on Indiana and try to force them out of their nickel and force them out of those pressure looks.
I think they should. They had success with it early in the...
Yeah, and they just went away from it.
In the first game. Kwon Lacy, 73-yard touchdown run. Ole Miss leads Miami 7-3. They're in the second quarter. Let's get Joey Harrington in here, see where his panic meter is at for this game against Indiana. We'll do that next. But first, here's Steven with SportsCenter. All right. Who knew we'd beat after Indiana beat Oregon 30-20 at Autzen?
I did.
Wait, you knew we'd be here?
Oh, yeah. For a doubt.
I don't know about that. But hey, here we are. Good
are
call.
You gonna seriously? If there's anybody who would have, it's Joey Blue Skies, right?
Yeah, that's true. Right. That's true.
Well, I think most people believed that Texas Tech was not going to be the bump in the road. This is where the rubber meets the road. That Indiana's the favorite. Obviously, Oregon is making their case, but the majority of people think that this is Indiana's game to win or lose. And so, I don't remember where I heard it, but someone brought up the point that, you know, if they lose this game, no one will give Lanning credit for beating James Madison and Texas Tech. It was like James Franklin last year didn't get credit for winning the two games. You still got the blame for losing it. It was almost like you were expected to beat those two. Now go do something that we don't think you're going to go do. This is by far the biggest game in Lanning's career.
Okay, hold on. Explain that one again. I'm trying to follow here.
So, like, Oregon goes through the year, right? They don't win the Big Ten, and they weren't expected to, right? Ohio State was the favorite, and then here comes Indiana. You lose to Indiana in the regular season, you get to the playoff. James Madison and Texas Tech, I think everyone thought Oregon was supposed to beat those two teams.
Texas Tech the favorite?
Was Texas Tech favorite in that?
No, Oregon's slight favorite.
I think Oregon was a slight favorite. Most people thought that Texas Tech was one-dimensional and Oregon should win that game. And so I don't remember who it was. I wish I could remember who it was. Someone brought up the point of Penn State last year, right? That Franklin wins the two playoff games and then gets to this point and they lost to Notre Dame. And no one gave James Franklin any credit for beating, was it Boise State and who else did they beat?
Was it SMU?
Might have been SMU. Yeah, I think it was. I think it was SMU and Boise or whatever. And so no one gave them any credit for it. It's like you only get the blame. And I kind of feel like that's where Oregon's at. If Oregon wins this game, everything's hunky-dory. Lanning gets over the hump. You got the doorstep of a national championship. But if you lose this game, I don't think anyone's going to be like, oh, yeah, Oregon beat James Madison and Texas Tech. It's going to be like, well, you couldn't beat Indiana. Last year, you couldn't beat Ohio State. The year before, you couldn't beat Washington. And whether it's fair or not, this is the game. This is the game that Dan Lanning will be judged on. It just will be. And I'm not saying it's fair, but James Franklin didn't get credit, and Lanning won't either for beating those two teams.
But you're basing this conversation off of the supposition, is that the right word, that Oregon and or Penn State was supposed to be in this place.
Yes.
I think people believe that about Penn State. I don't think there were many people. I thought people, my recollection, right? I can barely remember yesterday, let alone 3 months ago. I think the majority of people thought Oregon was going to be a very good football team.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think, I mean, if you go back and look at the preseason rankings, predictions. I don't think anybody predicted that Oregon was going to be here. So I would push back in the sense that James Franklin was being judged on an expectation that he be in this place, whereas I think Dan Lanning, and however you want to, you know, whoever you want to give credit to, getting to the semifinals in and of itself with the with the expectations is a win, right?
Yeah.
Is that a fair?
Yeah, I see.
Counterpoint,
and I would agree at the beginning, but stuff changes, and I think as this season went on, I think expectations changed. And
But I'm going to push back again. Do you think after the Indiana game this year that people looked and said, you know what, this is a semifinal team? That was midway through the season.
You can operate in that rational world, and I totally get why. I think it's irrational that what happened to James Franklin. But just because something becomes irrational doesn't mean it's not true. And the truth of the matter is, if Oregon loses this game, and it's the second loss to Indiana, much like the Washington one, people are going to take a big giant steamer on this season, and they're just not going to give you credit for beating James Madison and beating Texas Tech. They're just not. Everything about this season will come down to this game, in my opinion.
I'm going to disagree and say that this is speaking something into existence that wouldn't necessarily, I mean, sure, there's always going to be people out there that, you know, have unrealistic expectations. I think this is speaking something into existence that wouldn't necessarily have been there. Sure, I think it's fair to be disappointed. You know, like I was thinking the other day, and I say disappointed, assuming that we're talking about the instance if they lost. Like I was thinking about like how many times, God, we've been so close. Like I remember being at the game against Auburn. I remember being at the game against Ohio State. Like thinking through these situations and how disappointed. Like, oh my gosh. So it would be fair to be disappointed, but I don't think it's a fair thing to hold this against Dan Lanning.
Didn't say it was fair. Just like I said, what happened to James Franklin wasn't fair, but it's the reality. So you're operating in a rational Joey Harrington world.
Fight, Rob, hop in here,
and squash this nonsense.
Okay, here's what I think. I'll tell you what I think, and you see if you agree with me. A little different, okay, but along the same lines. Oregon's program is at the level where it is about these games.
Yes.
And Texas, yep. I think what Suka's saying is Texas Tech wasn't one of those, whether that's fair or not. It's this game, and it was last year's Ohio State game, and that they're good enough now, mm-hmm, and sustainable enough at that level, mm-hmm, that this is it. It's time to win these, and if this one, again, they're underdogs. Indiana's,
yep,
but Oregon has more talent than Indiana.
Okay, fair. What conference they have to win? What conference is SMU in? Are they in the Big 12 or are they in the
ACC?
Yeah, ACC.
They're in the ACC.
ACC, Power Conference. Yeah.
With Cal and Stanford, okay, if that makes any sense.
Yes.
Well, that's, I was like, isn't SMU in the AAC? So no. I was like, okay, the argument that used to be, I can't even keep it straight anymore. I was like, for some reason, Texas Tech seems like you referenced last year's Ohio State game. Well, last year's Ohio State game was the quarterfinals, which is exactly where Oregon beat Texas Tech, mm-hmm, right?
Yeah.
So I would say it is fair for the expectations to win college football playoff games. They have done that, right? I also think that it's fair, you know, like you said, it's the way it's set up for them now to be in a national championship conversation each year. That is a fair, realistic expectation. The reason I'm pushing back so hard on this right now is because James Franklin was fired. Mm. And that is not, no. I'm sorry, but I will sit here and I will bet you, you know, I'll hand you the keys to my car, the deed to my, like what Dan Lanning is not going to be fired.
No.
If Indiana beats them tomorrow, like that's apples and oranges for me.
Yeah,
but if they don't win this, and again, the narrative isn't always right fair.
It's just a narrative.
But if they don't win this,
yeah,
it's gonna start to seep into the Dan Lanning chatter that, yeah, hey, you know, what more? Like you're teeing yourself up, but you're losing at the biggest moments. Mm-hmm.
And that's all I'm saying.
And that's where this moment is.
And I don't think it's fair, but I think that there will that will be the overwhelming narrative and not, hey, that's a hell of a year for a year. I think next year, especially if Dante Moore comes back, the next 2 years, I think those are your big windows where this should line up to maybe do something special. And I just don't think anyone from with a loud voice or the majority of people are going to think rationally and be like, hey, hell of a year. We didn't expect you to be here. You win two playoff games and you couldn't get over the hump against the best team in the country. And maybe they end up being the eventual national champions and tip of the cap. We'll see you next year. I think it's going to be more of what Rob said of you lost to a more talented or you're more talented than Indiana. They don't have the star power and you lost to them twice in the same year. My God, why can't they win these big games? Not saying it's fair, but that will be the stupid narrative that floats around and people will scream about it.
So don't amplify stupid narratives.
Well, that's what we do.
Stop this stop the conversation here and don't just because other people it's like I tell my teenagers, just because other people say stupid things and make stupid decisions doesn't mean that you have to do that as well.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if they've established anything, if you want to look at a more glass half full, if they've established anything, it's that I think, like you were saying, you know, coming into the season, I think a lot of people thought Oregon was a year away.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I think if they've established anything this year, if you want to look at it positively, it's that they're never just a year away. They're so talented. And with the transfer portal, that they're in it whether it all lines up or not. I mean, that's how good they are.
Yeah.
They've established that this year when nobody
expected.
Remember,
they were eighth or something like that in the preseason. I saw something the other day where none of the major, you know, AP writers picked any of the four semifinalists.
Yeah.
In their top five to start the season, right? So, you know, you assume if you're going to do your preseason rankings and say, here's my top four, top five, that those are the teams you're expecting to be in the semifinals. Nobody picked any of these four teams to be here. So change the subject. Go somewhere else. This is toxic. We're getting ready. We're on the precipice of a national college football semifinal game, and you're talking about comparing to James Franklin and Penn State?
Shit. Yeah,
hey.
Idiot, Sucanic, freaking Sucanic, unbelievable!
God,
my God!
All right, well, let's take a break. We are here with Joey Harrington. They call him J. Joseph for short. Harrington, former Duck quarterback. It is brought to you by Mods PDX. The future of building is here. We got to get the patented Joey Harrington worry meter in. People want to know. Ooh. You were worried the first game. I remember. I don't remember your exact level, but I think it was like 8.5. We'll see where it is for this game coming up next with Joey Harrington here on 105.1 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
One briefcase, one moment, could change everything. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving you a chance to own your destiny in 2026. Play throughout the month of January, and on January 28th, one Club Serrano member will win the case, and with it, a finale spot in any 2026 promotion, plus $400,000. Which destiny will you choose? It's all happening at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
Back with Joey Harrington, and it's time for the patented Joey Harrington worry meter. Do you remember what you spit out the first game? Because I know you were worried about
it. Before the break, you told me it was 8.5.
I think it was.
Yeah, it was pretty high.
It was either 7.5 or 8.5.
It was higher than my worry meter.
It was high. I know it was higher than Penn State.
Yeah.
Yeah, Penn State was previous, and I was like a 7.5 or an 8. Yeah. And then I was super worried for the Indiana one.
How do we feel about a rematch?
7.5.
Okay, a little better.
Yeah, because what is it? Five of the last, or not years. There have been five. What's the rematches? That's where I was like repeats. No, rematches of regular season meetings and then college football playoff meetings. And in four of the five, the team that lost during the regular season won the playoff meeting. And the only one that didn't happen is Ole Miss and Tulane. When Ole Miss beat Tulane, was that last year?
That was this year.
It was this year.
Yeah. They beat them.
That was this year, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I'm getting older. That was the only one. It's tough to beat somebody twice. It's tough to line up against them and beat a great team for a second time. And I think there's going to be weight behind that. I think there's validity to that. Now, at the same time, I think that Indiana is the best team in the country right now. Like that, and anybody who thinks differently can go pound sand. Like this is a team that has been, you know, was overlooked at the start of the year, and week after week has shown people that they are the best team in the country right now. And so it's going to be tough. Like, this is a solid, solid football team top to bottom. And they gave Oregon's offense fits in Eugene, you know, create a couple late interceptions, a fumble, a six sacks or something like that. This is a formidable team. And I think that it's tough to do it a second time. So it's not as high, the worry meter isn't as high for me this time.
Yeah, I think it helps Oregon that they've seen them. They've been on the field with them. They know the personnel. They know the matchups. They know how physical they are, how disciplined they are. That helps. What, from a quarterback perspective, what should we be watching for early with Dante Moore? Because it did seem like in that first game, Indiana really confused him. What do you hope to see early in the game to give us some, you know, to give us a feel for how he's handling Indiana's defense?
I'm trying to think of the times when he has felt a bit out of rhythm, right? And like you said, the two games that pop into mind are the Indiana game at home and the Texas Tech game. Right. I mean, God, I number 31 Texas Tech's defensive end. I mean, the guy was in his face just about, you know, in his lap every year. Oh, my God. And in those situations, what Dante has been really good at doing is, you know, he didn't throw the interceptions until late in the game. Right. One of them was a tip ball. The other one he tried, you know, had to try and make a play. But he's been really good about not forcing balls. right? Against Texas Tech, a lot of balls to running backs out of the backfield. A lot of, you know, he got pressure early, and then it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, wait, back out of the backfield. That's not going to work against Indiana. This isn't you can do that against Wisconsin when you're off rhythm. Hell, you can do that, even do that against Iowa when you're off rhythm, right? And then make a throw at the end of the game. This is going to be a game where he's going to have to step up into the pocket, right? We talked about it after the Texas Tech game. There were a couple times where he got pressure in his lap and he retreated and either got sacked or threw it away or dumped it off, right? Didn't make a big mistake. Didn't throw up an interception, didn't turn the ball over deep in his own territory, but had he stepped up into the pocket, it's a tough thing to teach a quarterback, right? You got pressure coming at you. A lot of times the best place to go is forward, to go by it, to allow that tackle to push the DN by. So if you see him step into pressure and deliver a strike across the middle of the field, like that's what I'm looking to see. He's going to have to make a couple plays. He's going to have to, I don't want to say put the team on his back because he doesn't. But remember, like this is a receiving core that is just getting back to full strength. Right? We haven't seen DeCorian Moore in the way that we saw him early in the season. This is a backfield that is down to two running backs, right? Yeah. That's from the six. Like this is a time where he is going to have to, you know, and not do it every play, but have a couple moments where he steps up into the pocket and makes a big throw down the field and create some offense, maybe at a time where, you know, he's been a bit more conservative in the past.
Yeah, when I look at that first game, so I went back and I watched it this week, and a couple things jumped out at me. One is Oregon actually ran the ball pretty well. The six sacks and the negative yardage is what killed them, but they ran pretty well inside the tackles, not so much outside. They had some success, and I don't really understand why they stopped running it. Like, Indiana plays a nickel. That's just their base defense, and you know, their whole thing is no explosive plays, keeps everything in front of you. And Oregon, I thought, was doing a pretty good job of keeping the in front of the sticks, running the ball real well. And then I thought they got too cute and they just kind of stopped running the ball. I don't think necessarily Indiana forced them to stop running the ball. I think they just kind of went away from it. And I think that's one to me where, yes, Dante Moore needs to play better, but also if Indiana wants to give you 5 yards a carry, take 5 yards a carry. And I think that's whole Indiana's thing is you're going to make a mistake along the way. And I thought Oregon got impatient and was like, God, I don't know if we can go 15 plays without making a mistake. And I think they have to do that. And then Moore has to be good in spots. Also in pass protection, a lot of those sacks, those were covered sacks or running back sacks. I don't necessarily think the first play, Harkey got beat real bad.
Typical O-lineman, not blaming the O-line.
No, I mean, it just like some of that was confusion along the O-line. I thought the backs were poor, and like you said, I think Dante needed to do a better job. So I guess
here's the thing. So the question from Rob was what am I looking for from Dante early in the game, in the first half, right? And he, like, I hesitated to say it. I was like, he doesn't have to put the team on his shoulders, but he has to step up and make two or three of those throws.
Yes.
Right. Where you look back and say, there it is. Yeah. Right. Exactly. Run the football, 5 yards chunk, dump it in the flat, take four, take three, bam, step up. Wham! Yeah. And that's the play to keep the drive going, right? Yes. A big third and eight conversion.
Yeah.
A shot down the field. It's not like he has to throw the ball 50 times a game, because I agree. He does. Yeah. That's not what you want. You want this running game to be successful. You want to do exactly what you said, continue to run the ball out the field, and then there's going to be two or three chances where Dante has to step up in the pocket and deliver a strike into tight coverage to score, to move the chains, to switch the momentum. There's going to be a moment or two like that to where he is going to have to step in and be the guy.
Yeah, because I think in that first game, if I'm off the top of my head, they were like 3 of 15, 3 of 16, and third down. The average on that third down was like 3rd and 7, which is not the world you want to live in against this Indiana defense. And now with the emergence of Sadiq being healthy and now Johnson on the other side, I really think that Oregon's going to play a lot of 12 personnel, come out and be heavy and really give them a steady dose, even with the reduced depth in the backfield. I think they're going to pound it between the tackles and then try to take some shots downfield, like you said, in appropriate times. But they just have to – they can't live in the 3rd-and-7 world. It has to be on time and just take what the defense gives you. And I just think they got out of rhythm in that first one and got a little greedy with it and thought that there were big plays to be had, and there just isn't. Indiana just doesn't really give up a lot of big plays. So I just think they have to be really judicious with it.
You use the phrase takes what the defense gives you. Well, I think taking what the defense gives you puts them in a position where it's, it's a close game in the fourth quarter.
Yes. Yes. But,
for sure.
Yes.
But that's not like, I don't know. I think taking what the defense gives you, and yes, I'm 100%, 98% behind that strategy for the majority of the game. But there, I'm still coming back to a couple. There's going to have to be a couple moments where Dante is special.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the last, Trinidad Stambliss. He was absolutely special in that fourth quarter against Georgia.
Right.
Look at Mendoza against Alabama. He was absolutely special from start to finish. There are going to be a couple moments where you have to, like, where Dante is going to have to be the man, because let's not forget, this is not Indiana from the last 80 years when they haven't won a Big Ten championship since 1945. This is the best team in college football right now.
Yeah.
And he is going to have a couple moments where he rises above and puts the team on his shoulders, not for the whole game, but says, this is where I'm going to take control. I'm going to hit you right where it counts. Now let's get back to our game plan.
You're right, because if you go back, the two throws in overtime against Penn State, the deep throw up the sideline against Iowa, Sadiq touchdown over the middle, the ripping the ball in between four defenders against Washington when that was got into a field goal game, the one to Malik Benson. Right. There have been moments, you are right, where Dante Moore shows you glimpses and you're like, okay, that's why someone's going to take him number three overall. And you are 100%. If you're going to slay the beast, and at this point it's weird to say it, but Indiana is the beast.
Indiana's the beast.
They've beaten Oregon, they've beaten Penn State, and they've beaten Alabama. They've proved it.
And Ohio State.
Yeah. Like they are the beast right now. And you're right. And in order to do that, Dante Moore is going to have to show you a couple moments why he could be the number one overall pick. Because that's when we looked at Texas Tech and you said, what's the biggest difference? Hey, two really good teams. There's an NFL quarterback and there's a guy getting ready to play his last snap. And in this game, it's not. You probably have the number one and number two overall picks. And it may just be as simple as which one of those kids makes the mistake and which one of those kids makes the, this is why I'm the number one player in the country.
Might I add? As well, it's not just Dante Moore. It's, when we talked about this yesterday, but worth repeating, Oregon has 58 four or five star players.
Yeah.
Indiana has 7. And to your point about Dante Moore needing to step up, I mean, this is where I play the odds. I think Oregon is going to win because I feel like it's going to be a really good close game, chess match type of game where you rely on somebody in that 58, some special player to make a special play. Miami has this with Bain and Messidor and the guys that are stepping up for them. Oregon's got to have, it doesn't have to be, well, it's Dante Moore's the most important position, but I mean, somebody in there, Oregon has the odds to have that guy step up somewhere. Sadiq, who knows who it is? Maybe somebody on defense.
Yeah, Finney, who added the MVP of the Texas Tech.
But this is, like you mentioned, Chambliss. This is the level of the tournament where that happens.
Yeah.
Because everything else is pretty equal.
But here's the thing, though, Rob, is that five-star outside linebacker or that five-star or that five-star safety doesn't have the ball in his hands every single play.
No, that's right.
So they have opportunities, maybe one or two, where, hey, great. Pick off two passes, make an incredible tackle off the edge, and recover a fumble. Man, there you go. There's a great example of a defensive player having a game-changing performance, but Dante will have the ball in his hands every single time, and it's why 9 times out of 10, you can have all the studs around you that you want, but it is the quarterback who gets the blame, and it's the quarterback who gets the credit, because he's the one who pulls the trigger. And you know what? I don't care how many guys you have around you. If you have the ball in your hands and your job is to throw a skinny post into a 3-foot-wide space 27 yards down the field, by God, you better put it on his front shoulder.
That's right.
And that's your job.
I feel you, QB. Now, here's my last question. And Suk and I are on the same page here. I want to see what you think. Do you think Dan Lanning has it in him to be conservative in the game management department here? In other words, we were talking about, you know, the 4th and 1s, the 4th and 2s. If 3 points are there, this may be the type of game where you take the points. Do you think he can do that, or will do that, or should do that?
Had they not just played the game against Texas Tech last week? That was last week. It seems like longer than that. I would say not necessarily. There were moments, and maybe I'm confusing. Didn't he say that he should have taken, or that he would have, you know, looking back, he should have taken 3 in one of those situations?
Yeah, I think he said maybe something like that. Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he knew how the defense was playing, obviously.
I think that having that experience against Texas Tech last week because they were all, they were going for it on 4th down. They were going for it. I mean, they weren't kicking anything.
Eight times they went for it.
I mean, I think that experience where he looks back and said, yeah, you know what? It probably would have helped us to take the 3. Having that as your last experience, I think may influence. It's not going to change him. You know, he's still going to be an aggressive coach, but I think it may influence him a little bit to kick it 1 out of those 8 times.
Well, I hope so, because I think the 3s, this is going to be a battle, and I think it's okay to punt at times, even though it's enticing, and I think it's okay to take 3 at times, even though it's enticing to go for it. I get his style, but maybe not this game.
Well, remember, Alabama went for it on 4th and short from their own 30, whatever, didn't get it, and it kind of
changed the whole game.
You know, so I wonder too, like, I mean, they all do their film study, and I don't think Dan's influenced by a lot of what other people do, but I wonder if in the back of the mind you look at that and be like, man, you know, it's you let Indiana get going downhill, it can be a wagon.
Okay. Well, here we go. Enjoy it. Thank you for your hot commentary. We appreciate you.
Oh, boy. Now I'm all nervous.
Sorry.
That's going to be a great game. I will say this. I would bet my house that in the 4th quarter, this is a 1-score game. I do not think that this is going to be a game where one team is just rolling. I think this is going to be a heavyweight fight. I just don't see another way that this goes down.
I hope you're right.
Bye.
Bye.
Joey Harrington, courtesy of Mods PDX. The future of building is here. The club is next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year, because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces, like the gorgeous Sophia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology,
Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
When it comes to lighting, Graybar goes beyond parts and products. We help contractors turn plans into smart designs, manage kitting and deliverables, and navigate local codes so you can stay on time and on budget. Smart, scalable, job site ready. That's not just lighting. That's like kicking your project into Graybar mode. Yep, Graybar does that.